The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. By the way, did you know that even as I speak, this word, the word of God, is discerning what you're thinking about? The poet said, watch thy thoughts, keep them strong. Higher resolve thinks no wrong. Watch thy thoughts, keep them clear. Perfect love cast out fear. Watch thy thoughts, keep them right. Faith and wisdom bring you light. Watch thy thoughts, keep them true. Look to God. He will see you through. Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Now watch this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What are you thinking about right now? Don't look now, but your heart is showing. The God of the universe, his eyes run to and fro, the Bible says, upon the earth. He is discerning the good and the evil. We cannot escape what God is doing. We certainly shouldn't want to escape it. We should be happy that our Father in heaven has a vested interest in us more than we could ever know. He knows our every move, our every thought, our every concept, our every step. He loves us. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save us. And that's what it's all about. Well, my runway is running short. I'm going to have to get airborne before I crash. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 6. As you're finding your place there, maybe I would remind you of the fact that the Gospel of Matthew is often called by the authorities, the scholars, the Gospel of the Kingdom. Matthew portrays Christ as the King of Israel, not only during his life, but where he is now in heaven, Lord of heaven and earth. But one day, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ, who's called the lowly Nazarene, will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, he will rule the world in a thousand-year kingdom. Peace, prosperity, happiness, contentment, all that's prescribed and kept and preserved by Jesus alone. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 8 and down through verse number 15, and I shall read it after we pray. I trust you'll join with me as we pray together. Now, Father, we are indeed grateful for this Wednesday night hour. We're grateful for those who are by their media instruments listening on the live stream, not only in Fort Worth and Burleson and Mansfield and Joshua and Arlington and Dallas, but across America and in various parts of the world. Wherever this gospel, this word goes forth, even as a song, teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. I pray that you would help us to pray with the psalmist. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He also prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I pray that you would bless your word and bless the preaching of it, and may it reach the hearts of people. May Raymond Barber be hidden behind the cross. May Jesus Christ have center stage. May he be up front. May he be magnified and glorified and exalted above all. May your will be accomplished in this hour, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, I read beginning at verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Please don't miss this next verse. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's right in those verses. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So may it be. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In this series, the message tonight is entitled, Dear Lord, I'm having a problem with forgiveness. Please tell me what to do. To forgive or not forgive? That is the question. May I get personal right up front? Are you willing to forgive in the light of what Jesus said in my text? If not, I'm going to kindly suggest that you just tune me out. And here's the reason why, because I'm going to tell you what you should forgive, why you should forgive, when you should forgive, and what will happen if you do not forgive. To forgive or not forgive? That is the question. Someone said to err is human. To forgive is divine. One of the most difficult things for us earthlings to do is to forgive those who have wronged us. Our very nature rebels against it. And besides all that, pride has a strong chokehold on us. Now we know that all of us at one time or another have been wronged by someone in some way. Let's flip the coin. Every one of us knows that we have wronged someone else. All of us are guilty of making mistakes. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, may have been me. He who makes no mistakes makes nothing. We're all guilty of holding grudges. We're all guilty of angry, bitter, upset feelings, unwilling to forgive. You see, we have a strong desire to get even, ignoring the fact that God said in Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God is saying, in essence, leave it to me. I'm the scorekeeper of the universe. I will settle the score in my own time, in my own way. But you know what? We want to help God out. We want to nudge God a little bit and say, God, I want to help you that we get this matter going. I'm convinced if there's any sign on the door of the throne room in heaven, it's a sign that has three words, no help wanted. We fail to realize that carrying a grudge is excess baggage in the Christian journey. Now, I must tell you, the longer you carry a grudge, the heavier it gets. The more I study the Bible, and I've been studying the Bible a long time, The more I read the New Testament, the more I'm convinced that one of the first things that will show up at the judgment seat of Christ is an unforgiving spirit. I hasten to tell you that bitterness destroys. Bitterness demeans. Bitterness discredits your Christian testimony. And by the way, bitterness shows up in your facial expression. It shows up in your behavior, in your actions, in your reactions. It shows up even in the tone of your voice. No one can enjoy mental or spiritual health who harbors grudges or refuses to forgive. You know, we say, well, I really want to be like Jesus. I want to be conformed to his image. Do you really want to be? Do you really want to have his love, his mercy, his grace, his compassion? I don't know of anything, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know of anything that's more unlike Jesus than an unforgiving spirit. I turn to the Apostle Paul for insight in this matter. In Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 14, Paul wrote, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord, looking diligently lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Many people tonight are physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually ill because they have allowed a root of bitterness to spring up in their hearts. Believe it or not, I've known some people that carried grudges for 25 or 30 years. Husbands against wives, wives against husbands, parents against children, children against parents, neighbor against neighbor. And yes, would you believe it? Church members against church members. It is a horrible thing not willing to forgive. Now I'm going to read I'm sure it's on the board somewhere, I'm going to read the title of my message, because if you don't get the title of the message fixed in your mind, you won't understand the message. Now, here it is. Dear Lord, I'm having a problem with forgiveness. Tell me what to do. Now, I submit to you that I believe there are three things that Jesus tells you to do. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, Jesus tells you to forgive others if you want God to forgive you. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Jesus, I'm quoting Jesus now. Remember, he's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote Jesus, I never have to worry about being misquoted. Here's what he said. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. What does that mean, preacher? It means exactly what it says. Plain English. You don't forgive, God doesn't forgive. You don't need a Greek lexicon or a Matthew Henry commentary to understand that. It simply means this. If you are not willing to forgive the person who has wronged you, injured you, hurt you, lied about you, slandered you, cheated on you, walked out on you, whatever it might be, if you're not willing to forgive that person, God will not forgive you your sins. That's what Jesus said. Let's go back to the verses 14 and 15 in my text, quoting Jesus again. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, or if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." And Jesus said in Luke 37, I'm still quoting Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. He said, "Forgive and you shall be forgiven." Now just think about that for a moment. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. To forgive or not forgive? That is the question. Ladies and gentlemen, forgiveness is a powerful, dynamic, therapeutic exercise that makes a person feel better about himself and about those who are around him. To forgive or not to forgive? That is the question. Now, we can all remember that at some time or another, you were wronged, I was wrong, you were hurt, I was hurt. You asked that person that hurt you to forgive, for forgiveness, and that person forgave you, and you felt better. Now, turn the page. Someone hurt you sometime, somewhere, some way. You asked that person to forgive you, and that person did. You said something like probably, well, let's just forget it. It's over. Let's bury the hatchet. Well, immediately your self-esteem went up several points. Oh, by the way, when you bury the hatchet, don't leave the handle sticking out. Jesus said, when ye pray, forgive. It's obvious that Jesus connected prayer with forgiveness. There's a definite correlation between prayer and forgiveness. You see, prayer brings a believer closer to God than any other spiritual exercise. We are more intimate with God during our prayer time than we are at any other time in our daily walk. You know what? We say things to God that we wouldn't think about saying to anybody else. It is as though Jesus was saying in Mark 11:25, don't expect God to hear your prayer if you're not willing to forgive. 1,000 years before that, the psalmist wrote in 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, prayer must come from a heart that is right with God and right with others. I'm bold enough to tell you, you cannot be right with God and wrong with others. Hear me when I say it. Prayer from a bitter heart becomes a bitter prayer. You and I cannot talk to God through lips that utter ugly words or from a heart that harbors ugly thoughts. Do you know what bitterness does? Bitterness builds a barrier between you and God. It shuts God out. You do not forgive, God will not hear your prayer nor forgive your sins. Please heed this warning. Failure on your part to forgive others does not injure the other people as much as it injures you. Bitterness is like a cancer. It eats away at your emotional stability and your spiritual health. You cannot afford the luxury of an unforgiving spirit. That brings me to the second thought that Jesus tells you to do. He tells you to forgive the number of times equal to the number of offenses that are committed against you. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, there's a personal dialogue between Jesus and Peter. Here's how it goes. Peter must have been feeling proud of himself at this point. Listen carefully. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Please listen to Jesus' answer. It must have shocked Peter. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. The word 7 figures very prominently in the scriptures. It's the number of divine completion. Let's do a little arithmetic. 70 times 7? 7 zeros, 0. 7 sevens are 49. Some of you are counting. 488, 489, 490. And now I can go after that rascal and do what I want to. No, no, no. By the way, if you're counting, you're not forgiving. The Jewish concept was this: nobody should forgive more than three times. That was taught by the rabbis. Here's how the rabbinical statement on forgiveness reads. Listen carefully. He who begs forgiveness from his neighbor must not do so more than three times. If a man commits an offense once, forgive him. If he commits an offense the second time, forgive him. If he commits an offense the third time, forgive him. If he commits an offense the fourth time, do not forgive him. That was Jewish tradition. Now, what did Peter do? Don't miss this. Peter doubled up on the traditional, the 3 plus 3 is 6, and then added one for good measure. He must have thought, boy, Jesus will really be proud of me. No doubt he'll commend me. He'll say something to me like this, way to go, Peter. Nice guy. You're going to be an example for the rest of these guys around here. Oh, no. Jesus said, not seven, Peter, but 70 times seven, an infinite number of times. In other words, there's no limit. Let me repeat again. If you're counting, you're not forgiving. By the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't count? You know what? God has never said to me, Raymond Wesley Barber, I've forgiven you of that sin 48 times, 49 times maybe. And you have exhausted my mercy toward it. No, 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 that is not the way it goes. I point God to his own promise, his own word that he cannot deny. He said in 1 John chapter 1 at verse 9, if we confess our sins, agree with him on what it's all about. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we don't repeat the same sin again. No, absolutely not. Go ahead, my friend. Ask God to forgive you of that same sin. Now, I'm not trying to give you license to sin. I couldn't if I wanted to, and you don't have it. But we're so weak in the flesh, aren't we? At our strongest, we're weak. At our wisest, we're unwise. At our holiest, we're unholy. I promise you, you cannot exhaust the mercies of God. And he is ready at all times to forgive. Psalm 130 and verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, that is, if you counted sins, O Lord, who shall stand? If you want proof that God is ready at all times to forgive you, look at Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is full of mercy, kindness, compassion, love, and patience to you and to me. That brings me to the third thing that Jesus tells you to do. Remember, dear Lord, I'm having a problem with forgiveness. Please tell me what to do. Here it is, number three. He tells you to forgive because God has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 30, Paul wrote, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. To forgive or not to forgive? That is the question. Even as God, listen to what Paul said, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That means you should forgive to the same extent that God has forgiven you. By the way, did you know that God will not accept your gift or your worship as long as you're at odds with a Christian brother or sister? That's what Jesus said. You believe Jesus? Listen to what he said in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Wow. That's drawing a close line, ladies and gentlemen. To forgive or not to forgive? That's the question. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Question. Has Christ forgiven you? Then you should be willing to forgive anybody and everybody. A forgiven man must be always forgiving. Please don't miss this. Only the forgiving can be forgiven. To forgive or not to forgive, that is the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we're ready for landing. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. God's forgiveness is full, it's free, it's final, it's forever. I promise you, God will never dangle your sins in front of you. I promise you, God will not put your sins on your radar screen. In fact, he said he wouldn't even remember them anymore. Bad case of amnesia God has when it comes to remembering your sins. Hebrews 8:12, their sins will I remember no more. Isn't that wonderful? Isaiah 38:17, he says he's going to cast them all behind his back. And God's got a big back. And then he said in Micah 7:19, he was going to cast them into the depths of the sea. The sea was the deepest cave that the early people knew anything about, the Oriental world. So Micah says he's going to put them in the depths of the sea. And by the way, when he does that, he puts up a no fishing sign. To forgive or not forgive, that is the question. Ladies and gentlemen, forgiven is the sweetest word in any language. And I'm happy to report to you tonight that God has written forgiven by my name in the record book on high. There was a time on earth when in the books of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many sins below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago. Long ago, down on my knees, I settled it all. And the record is clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Let us forgive in order that we can be forgiven. Remember to forgive or not forgive. That's the question. And if you forgive, God will forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, God, who is merciful and kind and gracious and patient, will not forgive you. I'm quoting Jesus. Will not forgive you your trespasses, your sins, your iniquities. Wouldn't you like to have that burden lifted tonight? May I get personal? What did God say to you as you listened to this message in this hour? Did God remind you of someone whom you should forgive now? Did he tell you that you've carried that grudge that unforgiving spirit, that bitter spirit, that ugly spirit long enough to forgive or not forgive? That is the question. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the word that you've given us from the lips of the Savior, from the pen of the apostle, from the prophets, all through the Bible. We are taught to forgive. And Jesus put it so clearly, if we do not forgive those who've sinned against us, wronged us, hurt us, insulted us, that you would not forgive us our sins. May everyone listening, open our hearts and let the spotlight of your word come in. Show us where we ought to forgive so that you will forgive us of our sins. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.